This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Game day, Ravens 2.5-point favorites at the Chargers. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass, wrapping up week 12 of the NFL season. Two teams with playoff hopes, pretty strong ones, I guess, at this point, and time here to talk about that. The other NFL action of the weekend past. Long time NFL writer. Let's welcome back to the show, Jason Cole. Jason, good afternoon. What is up?
Life is beautiful. What's going on with you guys?
Same here. Appreciate you joining us as always. Before we get to tonight's game and some of the zaniness that happened yesterday in the National Football League, long assume that Jaden Daniels was going to be the offensive rookie of the year, with Bo Nix coming alive here as of late. How much is that gap closed in regards to that particular honor right now?
It's closed significantly, and it's not because Daniels has played poorly. He's just not. People figured out some things, and you know he got banged up. Not having Brian Robinson for a stretch has changed him. And I don't know how bad Eckler's injury was yesterday. Robinson couldn't finish. Eckler was carried off the field. I just didn't follow up on that one. But, you've got to have a running game, especially when you have a quarterback who's that size. Vinny, to me, he's a smaller version of Joe Montana, who is a very, slight-framed guy. And you got to keep people off of Jaden Daniels. Bo Nix a little bit better, playing for a winning team, made progress. I still think that Daniels is a better candidate, but it's closer now.
All right, let's talk about a couple of Florida teams coming off wins. Miami, I guess we all know Tua's healthy, watch out for them. And then Tampa, they beat the Giants, and we all know the debacle that's become of those two teams. And this is, Jason, with all due respect to Jacksonville, the two other Florida teams most likely to make a run towards the postseason. Maybe both of them could when it's all said and done.
Yeah, the Dolphins what are we looking at the last spot? We got Pittsburgh, Baltimore are going to make it. We have Buffalo, Houston. And we got three teams in the West. It's going to be tough, but Dolphins have a little bit of an outside chance to get it. To get that seventh seed right now. It's going to be them versus Indianapolis for that last spot. So it could happen. They're a very different team. I would also say this: as much as they're a much different team with Tua, and they're a competitive team with Tua, and this speaks to having a better backup. I really question, can you have a long-term plan with Tua Tagovailoa as your quarterback? I look at this and go, I would be drafting a quarterback in the top three rounds. Maybe not the first round for them, but in the top three rounds, taking a guy later in the draft every single year to see if I can, get a Brock Purdy long shot somewhere in here, and a guy who can develop for, a Kirk Cousins type of guy. Because I just don't know how much longer this is going to last. You're basically operating almost game to game with Tua, and that's a dangerous place to be.
Hey, Jason, what do you think about tonight's game?
Oh, I love tonight's game. Come on, everything about this is what football should be. It's a tough guy sport. It's two two brothers going at it who are both tough guys and have their history. It's teams that have rugged running games or want to, with extraordinarily talented quarterbacks. The quarterbacks are a little bit different, but they're both incredibly talented, right? I mean, Lamar's a better runner than Herbert. Herbert's probably a better pure passer than Lamar, but not hugely so. But I love this. This is a fun game. I want to see if Baltimore can get their act together defensively. They really, this is too good a team for them to waste this opportunity that they have in front of them. They got to get on a roll here defensively because they can win a Super Bowl. I'm just not sure they can win a Super Bowl if they have to go through. If in some way or shape or form they have to go through both Buffalo and Kansas City, man, that's a tough way to do it.
What do you think of Kansas City? They lost to Buffalo last week. They had Carolina this week, and they barely, another Mahomes miracle at the end, to take them down there and score. What's your feeling on the Chiefs, even though they are 10-1?
Was that even a miracle, or was that just like, okay, he got the ball this long, boom, he'll go?
Well, hey, Jason, I'll tell you what, when Carolina scored and there was a minute 40 or whatever, I said no. I said
it might have been 10 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't consider it much of a miracle. I consider it, this is what happens in the league, especially if you have a great quarterback. And I think that Kansas City is really bored, especially Mahomes. Like, there's just, when you played in as many big games as they've played in, I think it's really hard mentally to get up for a game against Carolina in week 11 or week 12. I just think it's hard. I think it's hard for, I think their defensive guys, have an easier time with it because, those guys are playing a little bit more for paychecks. There's a little bit more incentive on that side, but it's still difficult. It's still not easy to maintain your concentration. And I think that's where Mahomes is at. It's like, okay, I got to get this done. Let's go. And so now it's challenge time. And, I'm kind of sleepwalking through the first three quarters. And sleepwalking is three touchdown passes for him in this particular day. But, excuse me, most games, you sleepwalk your way through first three quarters. Where are we at in the fourth quarter? Do I need something? Okay, let's go make it happen. And let's go home. I think that's how they're playing right now, but they're that talented they can get away with it.
Hey, Jason, are you excited about any games for Thanksgiving Day? And then what's your opinion about, having a game on Black Friday now?
Oh, more football the better. Come on, man. let's do this on Black Friday. And that's actually, there's nothing more sort of entertaining. There's two teams that you love to watch lose, and it's the Cowboys and it's the Raiders. And you can pretty much alternate which one is number one in a given week, depending on how sort of smug Jerry Jones is at that particular time. If he's really smug, he's number one going away. But, you're humored by the fact that those two teams lose because there is such this overwhelming level of how do I put this? Faith among people who should be smarter than to cheer for this team. Like you should be smarter than to be a Raider fan at this point. You should be smarter than to be a Cowboys fan at this point in your life because these teams are not doing what it takes to actually win. So that's part of it. They're fan bases that are delusional, owners who are stealing from their fans essentially. Like that's that combination. But as far as the actual games, like, is there anything really entertaining about the Detroit game? I mean, that should be a walkover. I probably will not watch, the Giants and the Cowboys. I can't do that to myself.
That's when we're gonna eat at that time.
Yeah, and then the last game is kind of cool. I mean, Dolphins going into Green Bay. That speaks to your original topic, one of your first topics. Can the Dolphins get our role here and make a run to the playoffs and really get going? that game will show a lot. You know, whether it's close and they just barely lose, but they go on the road, or whether they pull that game out, which I think they have the ability to do. You know, that's an interesting game for the Dolphins and for the Packers, frankly. So that game is interesting. The first one's interesting because Detroit, you like to watch Detroit. They're fun. The second game, like, only your mother could love that game.
He's Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer. Real quick, Jason, has Saquon Barkley, no pun intended, done enough to make a run, if you will, at the MVP award that a lot of people assume is either Lamar's or Josh Allen's right now?
Well, I mean, don't forget Derrick Henry in there.
Right.
I mean, really, really don't. Yes, last night was, you know, a spectacular effort. And he is the main cog on that team. And I think that at this point of the season, you should try to be thinking about as many candidates as you can rather than focusing on one guy and trying to justify that argument, because then you end up getting locked into that argument. And that's why I want to keep my mind as open as possible. And Saquon certainly ran his way into the conversation. Absolutely. Lamar's having an amazing year. I've been thinking about Josh Allen a lot because he's having his best year in terms of keeping the turnovers under control. And that's the reason I wouldn't have voted for him last year if I have a vote. I don't have a vote. But I voted for Lamar because, you know, he kept that team in games by not committing mistakes, whereas Josh Allen was committing those mistakes that made games harder. Well, Buffalo has a better record than Baltimore this year, and one of the reasons is Josh Allen has gotten that part under control. As spectacular as Lamar has been statistically, and I know the defense is really the problem, not Lamar, but I give a lot of credit to Josh Allen this year for fixing a main problem, the same way that I gave credit to Lamar for a similar issue last year.
Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer. Jason, always appreciate the time. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to you and the family. And we'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Likewise, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Jason Cole, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's take a look at these picks when we come back. How we do over the weekend, College and Pro. We'll pick tonight's game as well. And we'll talk Maryland hoops and football with Jeff Ehrman from InsideMDSports.com. Then a funhouse trip. Inside Access takes over too, live from the Green Turtle in Owings Mills. Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, brought to you by Rice, Mirth, and Pesora. Same venue coming up at 5.
You can pick your friends.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time to look back at our picks for the weekend. Booze on the line. Beer for me and Nolan. Nick Alter for the kid. Yingling for Nolan. Vinny likes the vino. We'll start with the collegiate landscape. Week 13. College football. I mean, he's like, what? Were we just at Pickles for opening day, and we're already like 13 weeks into college football? Get the bleep out of here. But anyway, Maryland getting, what was it, 5.5, I believe, at kickoff against Iowa. I don't know how to go there, Nolan.
Well, we were, I don't know, a little confused that you picked Maryland. After all week, it seemed like we were all in lockstep, yeah, that we were all going to pick Iowa and then Penn State the week after, but you went with the Terps, took the L.
Okay.
And that's that.
Oh, that's that, huh? Yeah. Just nobody tried to give Maryland a little hometown love here. Thinking with your heads, not your hearts. I understand that. Look, I hope they would win, but they didn't. It is what it is. All right, Ohio State against Indiana.
We all saw this one coming, all three of us on the Buckeyes.
Yeah, but one is lopsided, maybe, is the
final score. I didn't think it
score.
Was lopsided. No, I mean, you know what? They got a punt return for a touchdown. The punter dropped the ball on the snap. So, I mean, there's 14 points right there.
Well, they marched down the field, Indiana, and scored. And then I don't think they got a first down for, like, the rest of the game. It seemed BYU at Arizona State.
Well, Bob, you picked BYU. I mean, you're sleeping on the couch if you didn't, so we understand that. But Vinny and I were taking Arizona State in that.
Well, they fell behind early. They fought back. Metzler threw the pick with like a minute and a half left, and that kind of doomed them. But they're not done yet. We'll get into playoff scenario. Well, the playoff rankings come out tomorrow night, so we can talk more about it.
What music were you playing, Bob? Was it your fault?
No, we had people over. We had, I think there was a box on one TV, the Colorado-Kansas game. And no, I did not get yelled at. I didn't play. What the hell are you yelling at me for? I got nothing to do with it.
Your music caused it.
I should have played Dokken instead of rap. My bad. Oops. Notre Dame Army.
All three of us taking the Irish.
Yeah, and the thing, Army gets behind, they can't throw the ball. So
is this Notre Dame offense? Because they're kind of putting up some crooked numbers here. Is this for real?
They don't throw the ball. They're running it. I mean, same type thing, Bob. If they get by, I mean, who have they really played lately? They haven't really played anybody.
Yeah.
You know, so if they get behind, are they going to be able to throw the ball to come from behind, you know, when they get in the playoffs?
Let's not forget their one loss.
SC game is going to be tough for them.
Yeah, Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
In South Bend. That's
what
the
are they about, 4-7?
Yeah, they've been scuffling in league. Anyway, NFL, week 12. Minnesota at the Bears.
Here you go, Bob. You had Minnesota in this one. Vinny and I took the Bears, and God, I mean, Chicago just can't win a close game to save their life.
No. Minnesota tried to lose.
They did. 11 points in 20-some seconds.
They screwed up the onside kick.
Oh, they hit that guy's leg?
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty. And then Caleb Williams made a hell of a throw on the one to get the field goal. You know.
Oh, yeah.
That
and
was
then
a
Santos was booming them through. Both Keenan Allen and DJ Moore had nice games for them. Anyway, Detroit at the Colts.
We were in lockstep for a lot of our picks, the three of us this week, and this is one of them. All three of us taking the Lions. Nobody daring to take the upset.
Gibbs and Montgomery score every week.
Yeah.
Gibbs gets most of the run. He had two touchdowns. Montgomery won, but, I mean, 10-1. Lions are for real, man. Minnesota. Miami hosting New England.
Dolphins, just heard Jason Cole say it, completely different team when they actually have a quarterback, and they look pretty good here against the division opponent, all three of us taking Miami.
Tampa Bay at the Giants here.
All three of us on Tampa Bay. And you see Baker with a little nod to Tommy DeVito there, touchdown celebration. He says it was all respect, but I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, Neighbors was not happy after the game. Neither was Jermaine Illuminor, former Ravens, and they're playing soft.
Yeah, how about when Seven broke that run, you know, and then Baker was down there blocking? That was pretty cool.
Bucky Irving.
Yeah.
Crazy fourth quarter in this one. Dallas in Landover against the Commanders.
All three of us took the Commanders in this one, and I think all three of us predicted that it wouldn't even be particularly close. So the fact that it was a one-score game was surprising enough, but that finish, like you said, I mean, stuff of a movie right there.
Did Cordell really say puffy pants?
No, he was pretty bullish.
Yeah.
Brian Robinson got hurt early, and then Eckler wound up leaving too, but still, inexcusable. And then, Seibert.
Oh, yes, the kicker.
Missed two extra points, a field goal.
So, now the reaction I'm seeing here, and of course, hindsight's always 20, but we saw it as soon as McLaurin scored. Coach is holding up that one finger. We're kicking the extra point. Any thought there for you guys of going for two?
Well, they had just scored with Daniels on the 1-2-point conversion.
Yep.
And that was right before the field goal, or the return for the touchdown, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just say Washington special teams left a lot to be desired yesterday, but that's their problem. Let's see what else we got here. Kansas City at Carolina, more entertaining game than maybe we envisioned.
Yeah, had to sweat it out, but we all get the W with the Chiefs.
Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, don't look now. Three of his last four games, he's thrown three touchdown passes, 10 in the last four.
He's outside the MVP conversation, and he should stay there. He's not allowed in the house.
How about Tennessee winning at Houston?
Yeah, there's a big shocker here, especially with the Texans at home, and none of us saw it coming. We all picked Houston.
Denver at the Raiders.
Another unison pick, everyone taking Denver.
Gardner Minshew separated with a broken collarbone. Out for the year. Aiden O'Connell, get back in there, Bo Nix. He's getting on a little bit of a heater here.
Yes, he is.
San Francisco at the Pack.
We did this pick before Purdy was officially ruled out. No excuse. I probably would have taken the 49ers either way. Needed to make up ground. I'll take the L. You guys had the Pack.
Yeah, puffy pants here.
Oh, yeah. That was the Niners just too many mistakes. Not enough players.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs, couple of touchdowns there. Seattle hosting Arizona.
Vinny had the crystal ball in this one, taking Mike McDonald and the Seahawks. Bob and I took the Cardinals.
Yeah, where was the offense for Arizona? Couldn't run the ball worth a bleep.
Mike McDonald, defense.
Yeah, all of a sudden, there they are, tied for first place. And then last night, Philadelphia taking on the Rams.
All three of us flying high with those Eagles.
Saquon Barkley, 255 yards, 2 touchdowns in that victory.
Yeah, and they got a hell of an offensive line too, Bob. The Eagles do. So yeah, next week's going to be a very interesting week.
7 wins in a row, right, for Philadelphia here.
That is correct.
As they come to Baltimore next Sunday, which we'll get into, I'm sure, tomorrow. Because first things first, Chargers host the Ravens. Ravens, 2.5-point favorites. Do we want to do standings first or do the game?
Yeah, I got your standings.
Let's
update here. Vinny with another good week. He's extending his lead.
No.
158-77, now 5 games up on
what?
Bob.
Whoa.
Well, you got to remember, you lost Thursday night
what?
Football. that added to it. You're 5 games back. I'm now 13 back. 13 back, so I'm pretty much done.
Then he's going to be popping champagne soon if we don't get this bleeping together.
I'll be like the Chiefs.
All right, Baltimore, 2.5-point favorites at the Chargers. Chargers have won 4 in a row, 4 of 5. They're 4-1 at home. Ravens are 7-4, coming off a loss. 3-3 on the road. 8:15 kickoff. Vinny Serrato, who do you have and why?
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens 26-21. And I just think that, and you guys have talked about it, Monday night, Lamar, prime time. Lamar shows up, and I think Lamar's going to run the ball. And I think Lamar's going to have over 50 yards rushing. And I think I'm not sure who's going to be that guy, the receiver. But I think he's going to be on throwing the football. I think Henry's going to have over 100 yards, too, in this game. How's it going to be without Roquan Smith? That's what's going to be interesting. I think we're just going to have a musical chairs of people playing that spot. I think it's, by the time it's all said and done, I'll bet you it'll be more of a DB than it'll be a linebacker playing.
Similar score for me. I'm going to say Ravens 27-23. They get the win. Of course, Lamar Jackson, the track record in prime time speaks for itself. But I think there is something to build on last week defensive-wise, particularly in the secondary, Ardarius Washington at safety. It seems like they finally found that safety combo that's going to work on the back end. That'll be just enough for a win.
I'm going Ravens 29-26 with Tucker the toe beating Dicker the kicker. Because old Tucker's been taking some heat here, and rightfully so. Even Harbaugh said after the Steelers game, you got to make these kicks, man.
Yeah.
Just kick them straight, and they'll go
through.
You
got one job.
Yeah, easier said than done, but it's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be one of these ebbs and flows. I'll answer your touchdown with my touchdown, but I think the Ravens will eke it out in the end and come home. Style points might not be glorious, but it's a W, and that's all that matters. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fed. Speaking of W's, Maryland hoops last night, or yesterday afternoon, up in Newark, they pull one out over Villanova. No. It's not the Jay Wright Villanova Wildcats, but they were down 14. They came from behind to win. But Maryland football, however, they're 1-7 in the Big Ten. They're big dogs up at Penn State. Nittany Lions looking to I could see them running up the score against the Terps.
Oh, yeah.
Is recruiting taking a hit there? Because that stadium Saturday in College Park, you could see the M, and that's a bad thing. Chargers have won 4 in a row. We'll talk more about that in a few. But yesterday, Bob Hadeby's Rod and Nolan McGraw on the hardwood up in Newark, New Jersey. Terps coming from behind, 14 down in the first half, 12 at halftime, to stun Villanova. Granted, it's not the national championship-level Villanova Wildcats, but a win nonetheless. Here to talk about that, and then that disastrous home finale for Maryland football. From InsideMDSports.com, let's welcome back to the show Jeff Ehrman. Jeff, good afternoon. What is up?
Hey, Bob and Vinny. How you guys doing?
Good. Doing all right. Look, you know, you're down 14, you come from behind to win on a neutral site. I mean, baby steps, you take that win. But outside of the comeback itself, the most impressive part about the win to you, for Maryland, of course, was what?
I think it was the resilience, basically, in the second half. This is a team that, you know, their only real opponent they've played so far, they lost to Marquette. You know, a new group of guys on a neutral court site for the first time. And so while Villanova, like you said, is nowhere near the vintage Villanova teams we've seen recently, you know, it's still that kind of win where you can build up some confidence and chemistry, you know, when you're on the road a little bit later. And then obviously Derek Queen, I mean, that's the obvious answer. 22 points was really good in the second half after, you know, some sloppy turnovers in the first half. And I think the biggest takeaway for me is just, you know, that you can start, if you squint, you can start to see the makings of a really difficult 1-2 punch in the post with him and Reese. They've been a little, you know, disjointed earlier in the season, but, you know, Queen was feeding Reese for open layups constantly. He's such a good passer. So, you know, I think you can start to see the makings of a really tough high-low game with those two.
Yeah, a great point. We were actually talking about it on the show last week, Jeff, about how they can coexist. And, hey, Queen let him in assist yesterday with 5. He could pass from the high post. He could throw in paint. But Reese looks a little bit more, I don't know, his finishing around the rim ability seems to be better than we've seen. Yeah, he's a senior, but, you know, he could kind of bounce off that contact a little bit more than we've seen in years gone by.
Yeah, he's gotten bigger and stronger. I mean, he is a big dude. He was pretty skinny when he arrived at Maryland. He's probably put on 40, 50 pounds since then, including, you know, maybe the most of any offseason, last offseason in terms of his gains. So I think you have a scenario where you have the skill guy who can pass and command double teams and knock down some jumpers. And then, you know, Reese kind of embracing this role as more of a bruiser guy at the rim who's going to finish and draw fouls and grab rebounds. You know, he's still a better defender than Queen at this point, I think. But, you know, you can definitely see the makings of it, especially because I think Queen probably is the best passer on the team, even better than the guards, which it says something for him, but also says something about how the guards need to get better at passing.
Good point there. Jeff Ehrman from InsideMDSports.com. Terps win yesterday 76-75. They have Bucknell, then Alcorn State, and then you get into a little bit with conference play, Syracuse looming as well, as we praise Reese and Queen coexisting perimeter game. Are you feeling a little bit better about it than you were, say, a week ago, as they used that three ball to get back into the game in second half, too?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a couple concerns, mostly the same one from last year, three-point shooting. They're 6 of 19 yesterday. They're still, I think, somewhere in the 200s nationally, right around that 30% mark. So you hope that gets better, but, you know, you definitely can't count on that. It will be better than last year either way, I think, but you need to get it a few percentage points up, which could happen. I think Jacoby Gillespie and Rodney Rice are really good outside shooters who'll hit more consistently. But, you know, the backcourt is so far better than last year. You know, last year you had Jameer Young carrying the entire load. The next leading scorer among the guards was, I think, Deshaun Harris-Smith with 6 points per game. So the balance is so much better this year, and you have a couple of good passing bigs that should accentuate that. But I would like to see, you know, if you're Maryland, I'm sure you'd like to see the guards get a little bit better on, like, the pick and roll. You have the big guys rolling to the rim, and they're missing them a little too often overall. But there's definitely promising signs there.
Jeff, how disappointing to you was this football season?
Pretty disappointing, Vinny. You know, I didn't think coming into the year my prediction was 6 wins. I felt like the issues, you know, the questions on the offensive line and in the secondary were going to be, you know, limiting to them, and they have been. Obviously, the offensive line has been dreadful, if we're being honest. Cornerbacks have given up far too many big plays. So, you know, I don't see any way you can say it's not a disappointment. Obviously, now with just one Big Ten win, and that Big Ten win, you know, required a last-second or last-minute miraculous blocked field goal to get it. I can't imagine how the fans would be chirping right now if they were winless in the Big Ten. But, you know, I think some of it is, it probably could have been branded better as a rebuilding year as opposed to, you know, we're going to compete for championships and that sort of thing. That kind of increased expectations. Everybody was already really thirsty for some marquee wins, which they didn't get even in those good previous 3 seasons where they won bowl games. So, yeah, it's clearly a disappointing season. The fans seem as unhappy as you might guess. And, you know, Mike Loxley's got to get something figured out this offseason, get things turned around.
What do you think happened Saturday against Penn State?
I mean, it's quite possible the same thing that usually happens when they play Penn State recently. You know, it's a huge point spread. Penn State has one of their better teams in recent years. And if you're Maryland, team with nothing to play for going on the road in this final game with you know, a lot of guys probably having their futures in mind and distracted, and same with the coaching staff, it's hard to imagine that they'll produce, you know, a Herculean effort and a near upset or anything like that. Anything's possible, but it's not a good setup.
Now, with the recruits that have committed, how hard is it going to be for them to hold on to all of these guys?
I think that's actually the good news. You know, they really haven't had any decommitments. Most of these guys have committed based on the vision of building something, you know, together at Maryland that hadn't been there recently. So I don't think that much of their view of the program is based on what happens off the field. But you never know when you combine what's happened off the field with the NIL piece and where you just have no idea if someone's going to come in with a big offer for somebody. You know, there's no way you can guarantee that there won't be attrition. But for a team that's having a really rough year, recruiting has gone really well. They're still in the top 25 nationally. They have a top 25 class early in 2026. So there is some promise there for the future.
Jeff Ehrman, what's going on inside MDSports.com on this Monday?
Oh, actually, we have a recruiting update today about a big-time recruit planning a visit to Maryland in basketball, full team coverage, football coverage from behind the scenes. So if you love the Terps, come check us out.
Jeff, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy that Monday Night Football because we know you're a big Ravens fan.
You guys, I'll be rooting for you, maybe.
All right, Jeff. Jeff Ehrman, everybody. It's Vinny at Haiti 105.7. The Fan. We'll come back, take a trip through the Funhouse with Nolan McGraw, hear from you. And then we go to Inside Access live from the Green Turtle in Owings Mills. They start at 2 o'clock, and then at 5 o'clock, it's Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, the pregame show brought to you by Rice Mirth of Pesaurus. Ravens, 2.5-point favorites at L.A. Unlikely to play for Roquan Smith. So, and we talked about it last Wednesday when you're doing the film of the Steelers game, having arguably his best game of his season.
Yeah, he was everywhere. He was everywhere because he had to be because Simpson was playing so poorly. So that's why, because Simpson looked like he was lost in space last week. And Simpson's got to have his A game this week because of Roquan not being there.
Now, Greg Roman takes advantage of this. How? -0.
I think, Bob, Disley down the middle of the field some. You know, tight end down the middle of the field, play action pass. And if you can combo up to the linebackers and stuff with your O-line, but they're not great at getting up there, the running game, I would think. And then, Bob, I would say, you know, if you ran whatever side's Harrison on, run wide to that side because he doesn't run east-west very well.
Orioles have 17 hitting coaches. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Hopefully we're talking about a Ravens win.
Yeah.
Because if we're talking about a loss, then I'm guessing most people are going to be running hot. Let's be honest. A lot of fans get hot when they win. Matter of fact, women's college basketball, I haven't addressed this. UCLA, the new number one after USC and South Carolina both lost. Brenda Freeze, her Terps, coming in at number 10.
Oh, nice.
In this week's poll, the men, as we just talked about, Jeff Ehrman, they come from behind to beat Villanova. So, yeah, got a lot going on here. It's rivalry week. College football, we'll talk more about that because it's a short week for us. We're only here tomorrow and then Wednesday, and then we celebrate the holidays with our families, and it's kind of the way it is.
Yeah.
Who am I to turn down a company holiday? It's Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Inside Access coming up live from the Green Turtle in Owings Mills. Let's go to Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
You mean you want me to stay home and get paid for
it? The Rudeness Text Reader.
Yeah, I can do that.
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, we'll start with Maryland, the good, the basketball. This texter here says the Terps showed yesterday they can finish in a close back and forth game, as well as they played throughout that Marquette matchup. They really did choke in the end at the free throw line yesterday, to me, showed that they can be clutch.
Baby steps, man. Just take the wins. That would have been yet another frustrating loss we'd be talking about because of that Marquette. Marquette's really good, by the way. Let's not forget that. But, yeah, take the win. No, it's not Villanova from 4 or 5 years ago, but it's a neutral site win, and, you know, we'll see how it all turns out. You got a couple of easy games, and then Big Ten kind of percolates a little bit, and they got Syracuse still looming as well. I mean, here we're 6 games in, or 5-1, 6 games in. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. In the olden days, the first game wasn't until, like, December 1st. You build, man.
Over to the not-so-good side of Maryland, the football. Multiple texts here, so I'll just lump them together. Steve in Baltimore, Ed in Timonium. Just asking in general, Locksley's job security, where does the program go after a disappointing season?
They're not firing him. I don't think there's any buyout money. And, you know, they did go to three straight bowl games and won them all. But this was a pretty dramatic step backwards. I mean, you're watching, you know, Minnesota beating teams. You know, Iowa's every year kind of in that 8-9 win. I mean, can Maryland even get to that level?
And well, look at Indiana.
Indiana, just what the bleep. But can they go to another level? I mean, top 25 recruiting classes are nice. You got a stud quarterback coming in, Malik Washington. Does he play as a freshman? I mean, we're still months away from that being determined. But there's no more Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan every year. You know what I mean? Those days are gone.
Yep.
How much farther can they go? And on senior day, the only people there were the seniors and their family. And I wasn't there, so I can't rag too much. But again, I had built up some equity in regards to that. The M was visible.
What coaching changes are going to be? You know, Lox is not going anywhere.
No, but
the OC.
Well, Gattis already lost.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe Pep Hamilton.
Special team. Who knows?
Now on to our Ravens predictions. We'll start with Chris. Says, not as confident in the Ravens defense with Roquan out. However, I still see Lamar being his regular primetime self. And that being enough in the end, he's got a close one, but the Ravens winning 31-27.
Yeah, I think if Lamar has MVP performance, which he's had a lot of those, they'll win.
Matt in New Orleans thinking similar here, but he's got the Chargers, says, I can't get over how disappointing the Ravens defense is, and now the offensive mistakes coming into the picture. The Chargers look good to me, and more than the Ravens can handle without Roquan Smith. Maybe even if he was still out there, they would still lose. Matt says, sorry, but Chargers take this one, 31-24.
That's going to be that's why we play the games. That's why we play the games, to see, you know. I think the Ravens are going to come out fast, and I think Lamar is going to have a couple carries in that first series.
What if they fall behind 10 zip here?
I don't know.
I mean, they've
come, done it before.
They've overcome deficits.
That's not a problem.
And we talked earlier during the whip, Nolan, 5 years ago, Monday night in L.A., it was against the Rams, and it was at L.A. Coliseum. Lamar Jackson, 5 touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. Could history repeat itself?
Was that the first Jackson 5? Or he might have had one against the Dolphins in week one that year.
Yeah, I believe opening game.
Right.
Yeah.
But plenty. A lot of Jackson 5 since then. Maybe
plus the
another
other thing,
tonight.
If you
well,
get...
Well, yeah, more touchdowns than the Orioles have hitting coaches.
Oh, does that?
Or pitching coordinators.
If you get down, they were up 24-6 last week after halftime and should have lost since he missed 2 field goals.
Yep. Right.
I actually just got a text here from the Orioles. They want to interview me for
assistant hitting
this?
Coach?
Assistant to the assistant hitting coach.
When does Mr. Splash get an assistant? Because everybody seems to have one there.
Head hydration specialist?
That's right.
Close things out with Howard in Baltimore. Says, Lamar prime time is different than Lamar in standard time. That Pittsburgh game, another embarrassing loss. I believe the offense explodes tonight. Hopefully the defense will maintain that last performance from the Steelers game. My only concern is special teams. Will they trust Justin Tucker with a 50-plus yard field goal attempt?
I say they'll trust him, and then depends on what he does after that.
Yeah. Tucker the toe versus Dicker the kicker. We got a lot of fun going on Monday night. And, hey, Lamar primetime, great. They have Philly coming up, and what's he, 23-1 against the NFC?
That's another primetime, 425.
425. So the next 2 weeks, you know, the Ravens, I mean, I don't need to do math for you. They're either 9-4 or 7-6. And boy, we'll have some things to talk about when they hit the bye week. We're done. Inside Access coming up next, live from the Green Turtle in Owings Mills. 5 o'clock, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show brought to you by Reich's Mirtha Pesaurus. Same venue, so stick around. We're talking about that. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you later. For now, class dismissed.